was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 483. What?
If you're just listening to Pink Floyd, you could win. Hello, is there anybody? You missed it.
You're right. I
see,
blew it.
And we had the theme.
I failed again. Oh,
Miley just hotboxed me.
Well, that's what you deserved. It's from all that she ate. But yeah.
Yeah. How do you follow up on that one? Yeah.
I don't know.
There's no good transition.
No, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comic. Joining me, joining me tonight are
Dave,
Pat,
Spencer,
Brandon,
and a gassy Marley. But I shared my nuggets with her, so apparently it will have Tim take you out.
Does no one else smell that?
Yeah, no, I smelled it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
As if you're smelled like rose.
Hang on, let me see. This one. Okay. Any news? Anybody see anything?
Yeah. Dark Horse is getting the all ages Star Wars.
Well, it's the stuff that IDW had. So yeah.
TKO Studios is they signed with New Regency to potentially turn some of their books into movies or TV or something. So I think a Sarah TV show or movie would be good.
Okay. That happens. I don't want to say a lot, but there's it's funny because, you know, people, they'll get hot because they get optioned for a show or a movie. It's like, okay, Why The Last Man had been optioned for 10 years and it got one season, you know, so don't put too much faith in this stuff.
The other one was optioned Gru.
Okay.
Did you see that? For Gru, option for like an animated series.
Okay, well, I have to be, yeah. Live action would be bizarre.
No one I recognize from anything I recognize was like associated with that. So like, Noctera, that was announced this week. That's going to be a Netflix show.
Okay.
Potentially.
I think that's the other difference though with the proliferation of streaming. You're going to see a lot of the stuff that was optioned make it because they've got to create new content to get people in here. But you may still only see one or two seasons of things.
Marley, come here.
Thanks, Tom. Just, yeah. She almost killed Brandon.
So that's it. I don't have anything else. The questions are very Thanksgiving themed.
Woo!
So, I hope so.
Let me get to the right Twitter account. There we go. Okay. For Mr. Ludwig, comics related, what are you thankful for? I'll start because I'm going to steal Dave's. I'm thankful for Mark Russell. I saw this earlier and I was thinking about when I was getting food. I'm like, I just so appreciate his kind of unique voice out there because so much stuff that I read is like, another like a book that I read from this week that I was really excited about is basically Noctera, and it's like, okay, I've read this before, I'm not interested, it's not exciting, where everything of his is at least different and unique and has a unique voice and is fun. I think that's the biggest thing about him. All his books are fun.
Not preachy
at all.
No,
and they're really
even for a book about Jesus,
they always have they always have like, moral themes under them. There's always a little
commentary.
Deeper.
Without being pretentious.
Right.
And the range is, he has quite a range because like his Lone Ranger stuff I read.
Okay.
And that's very much like, it's about like the impact of like barbed wire had on Texas.
Yeah, that was a great.
It's
book,
like,
yeah.
It, yeah, and then. You've got the, you know, the religious stuff and the absurd stuff, and like the Wonder Twins was great.
Was
never
good.
Thought
yeah.
I would.
Oh, yeah,
that's good.
Yep.
Like the Wonder Twins book.
And Prez. I still, every once in a while, I'll think of something that he did in Prez, and it's just like, damn, where'd this guy come from? But yeah, and Flintstones, you know, just, yeah, I just, of all the creators that are out right now. I mean, there's a lot of great artists and stuff like that, but I just think he's just got such a unique take on everything.
Man, that Flintstones book, that had to be like the first thing I read. And I was like, what the heck?
Is that Snagglepuss?
Snagglepuss. Yeah. Snagglepuss.
The fact that,
it's like this was written for me.
Yeah, the fact that we read Snagglepuss right before the anniversary of the, what was it, the
Stonewall?
Yeah, and it was like, they were talking on the news. It's like, I know about this from a comic book.
Yep.
About
Snagglepuss. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just...
Yeah.
Just great, really. Just that's all. So that's my pick, but I'm gonna say it's second.
You stole mine too.
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I just say that there's different stuff out there. You know, certainly the capes are there, but you know, there's I can read so many different takes on Batman at this point.
And I was looking at the new previews, or maybe it was last month's previews. And there's another book, a Batman book. I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah. But just that there's, you know, there's some good stuff out there. Even though I think the ending kind of fell a little flat.
Thanks, Tim.
The Maniac in New York. That was that was everything I wanted in a Friday the 13th comic book. Like I said, I think they failed on the ending. And I know the new series is coming out like next week or the week after.
She is
very demanding.
She is. Listeners are getting a close up.
Yeah.
That was Marley having her potty cookie. Yes. Sit down. Good girl.
Yeah, but I just like that there's different stuff out there and it's not all the same.
I'd love to see it get a little more variety. Like, you know, maybe a Western or, you know, some more stuff like that would be nice. You know, the romance comics, not necessarily, but maybe in a theme, you know, some idea
like
would be cool.
What was it? Minky Woodcock?
Yeah.
Like that, which it's kind of crime, but kind of romance, kind of.
I'm just saying about books of yore, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark? What are you thankful for? Cookies, I know. Nuggets, that's your biggest thing.
I'm thankful for the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina came back, too, after
three years
of waiting.
And the issue was actually good.
It was.
Pat wasn't here that night. I talked about it. Yeah.
No, I read it.
It was really good. Oh, I know. Yeah. It was really good.
Tim's going back out with a bag, so I'm going to say you took care of your problem.
I would say anthology books. Like Dead Box, that's Mark Russell, that little overlap there. The Silver Coin. I like being able to pick up a series with like really talented writing and like this. I don't know what I'm going to get every month, and it's you know, very Twilight Zone-y, where it's one and done. If I don't like one, it doesn't matter because we're on to the next thing, and you know that's because some of these like. Six issue series that like the arc, it's a 6-issue arc in it. Like, you could have done it in two, right? Like, there's a bunch of stuff like that. But I'm a bunch of books like this, the Fear State stuff with Nightwing. Like, I wasn't reading anything else but Fear State, and I was digging that Nightwing book. And then I have just these three issues that are just like. You know,
I was
a trudge.
I was talking to somebody about Daredevil today, and I said I stopped reading after the King in Black issues because they were terrible. And I just, the next one came out, and I wasn't.
But you were loving the series before.
Right,
that.
Right. And so, same thing. And now, you know.
Yeah, so I hope we get more of those.
Yeah. Edgar Allan Poe, Snifter, of whatever.
Yeah, that's another one.
That
too.
Even what? Ice Cream Man is really
Ice Cream
too.
Man. Oh, yeah, Ice Cream Man was basically an anthology.
Yeah. The ones that are like, because they've done those with capes before, but those don't really seem to catch on. And I think that's because they just, I feel like they're just there to like, let's put some IP in there that we need to just keep alive. Yeah. Let's not actually try to make a quality book.
Well, so. I think some, like, horror tends to lend itself to anthology a little bit easier. You know, like Hotel, the AWA book. That was an anthology, and it was, although it ended up all tying in together, as you're reading individual issues, you can't tell that it's tying in together. But if it's done well,
They've tried to bring back Marvel Comics Presents like a couple times in the past.
Yeah, but every time they try to bring it back, it never sticks. It's like with the theme. They just brought something, Marvel Team Up back, but it was Ms. Marvel and Captain Marvel or something. It was like kind of forced. It wasn't the... Right.
And it wasn't... that. If I remember correctly, that was like the first couple of issues that it was just her. It was basically her and Spider-Man teamed up.
That could be.
It wasn't like, you know... Are they coming out with a What If book that's going to be an anthology?
Yeah, they've teased it. It might be in the new when it comes out, but because they teased it,
What Ifs kind of haven't been good the last couple of years. But
they used to be fantastic.
Yeah, but go back to if there was a What If Marvel book that was just like a good writer, a good artist, and, you know, even if it wasn't monthly.
Spencer, besides porn, what do you think?
Tom Taylor. I would like a lot of his stuff. Since he's been on Nightwing, this has been really good. I don't know, there's really been a book, that he's been putting out recently where I've been, that might be, one of, the Batman Detective, that out of, all the ones, I maybe like the least, but it's still, okay, it's not, terrible, but... Again, yeah, he's probably been, my go-to writer for the past, year or so. So anything if I see him come out, I normally will at least give it a shot.
Cool. Okay, James from Harrisburg asked, what DC Marvel character would make the best guest for Thanksgiving dinner? Who would be the worst? No superpowers can be used. They're just there for conversation and company.
The worst would be Matt or Eater Lad.
Conversation, I'd say Booster. It could be interesting, but it might get a little tedious.
I say it depends. Are you going to have, alcohol at the place? Because then, some of the
Thanksgiving,
Booster,
you have to have alcohol. Otherwise, there's no fights.
Okay, for worst, Professor X. Because then when you're thinking, this guy's an asshole, he can read your thoughts. That's just going to end off. And for entertainment, Moon Knight. You get the DID going on. You don't know which personality shows up. That could be a lot of fun. Probably Superman, probably for the best. Because seems like somebody you could probably chat around and talk to. Even he'd do the dishes. You know, you probably wouldn't have to even ask him to do the dishes and stuff like that.
Turkey's a little cold. He can warm it up with his eyes.
Yeah, and then I guess in that case, the worst one would probably be Bizarro then.
That's outstanding logic.
Yeah.
I think Ben, if for a good one, Ben Grimm.
That was gonna help
you with the dishes,
Well, I was thinking who has the most fascinating stories to tell about places they've been, but Reed would be so scientific and where Ben would be and then we were in this galaxy, and this green thing showed up. You know, he could tell these great stories.
And then there was clobbering time. It was clobbering time, so I had to clobber him. Yeah.
But where are you going to find a chair that he can sit in without crushing it?
He'd bring his own. I'm sure Reed could make one.
It'd be a great poker game, too.
Yeah. But that's who I was thinking is the best. Yeah. Okay.
So who's the worst?
For me?
I don't know. For some reason, I think Deadpool would be the annoying.
That's where I have Booster. I think Booster
you'd
would
have
be annoying.
You'd
have
to put him at the kid table.
Yeah.
I say if you had to use the powers, Wolverine would probably, because he could just carve up the turkey for you, but if you can't use powers.
I don't know. I don't consider his blades powers. The healing's a power.
Yeah.
But the blades, not so much.
Okay, we good?
I think so.
Okay, now IBT has asked six questions. What's the best Thanksgiving side dish? For me, I'd say mashed potatoes, but you can have those anytime. So Thanksgiving specific, I'd have to go with stuffing.
And pie isn't. See, I would because you I, can I say would pie. Say I would say mashed potatoes, but pie is not a side dish. Pie is a dessert. So I'm going to think about that.
Okay.
Yeah, see, that's the problem too, because you said my top two: mashed potatoes or stuffing.
Yeah, well, you don't have to. You can agree. You know? Yeah.
It's stuffing for me too. I love my mom's stuffing. I love
Spencer a hoagie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Freshly slapped.
Freshly slapped.
I'll go with cranberry sauce.
Now the like with real cranberries or the can of stuff, the gel in the can.
I like them both. I prefer the real stuff.
See, I love the gel in a can. And everybody mocks it as the worst thing ever. And every time I see it, I'm like, give it to me in a spoon. I'm good.
Yeah, see, I want the...
I like lima beans, too. So,
the...
Fair.
Understand that my taste may differ from yours.
The stuff from a can, I will just, like, I'll eat that like like it's Jell-O.
Yeah.
But, like, I like the real stuff to, like, I'll put a little on that with the turkey and then mix the turkey, like, that white meat, not so bland if you put a little cranberry sauce on
it. Fair enough.
So.
Okay. What were your favorite Thanksgiving pastimes growing up? I can't really think of anything.
Probably just watching, like, the football games. I mean,
Yeah.
I don't know that we had traditions.
Yeah, because, like, I wasn't, like, those families that have, like, the football game in the backyard or anything like that. We never did anything like that. Or
I always liked eating at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
so insanely early dinner.
Like, we always had to wait for my brother-in-law, so 4 o'clock never happened.
But, like, my grandfather always wanted to be, like, he wanted to leave before the streetlights came on. So, like, if he's getting out of there... You know, an hour and a half after dinner, you got to eat pretty early.
But the advantage of that is you can get second helpings in and still be all right.
Any Black Friday sales at your store? Yes, as soon as I decide what I'm doing.
See,
that's what Thursday's for. Yeah. What's your favorite comic series at the moment?
I'd say Primordial. It's about, I'll just talk about the issue 3 just came out. It's about it's an alternate history where we, like, the space race never happened. We sent up the rockets with Abel and Baker, the monkeys, and the Soviets sent the beagle, Laika, his name is.
Laika, yeah.
And they disappeared, and people were like, whoa, call off they died, and they called off the space race, but they actually didn't die. Like, we don't know exactly what happens, but it looks like they've been abducted by some kind of, like, alien race, and some people on the Earth that are, like, they know about it, like the trainer of Lotka, and, it's a really good, and it's Jeff Lemire, so it's really good. Really good art. Really good art. So I'm really digging that.
I'd probably have to toss it up between Nightwing or Ninja Turtles, probably.
I was on board with Nightwing, except for Fear State.
That's over now. So
yeah. Seven Secrets is probably mine.
True. Yeah, that's good.
I gotta get back on that.
I feel like though that's it's headed to an ending, which I'm a little
Mine's Crossover.
That's another really good one.
That
I thought you were gonna say Crossed. Okay.
That's
Dave. We saw you. We didn't know.
Crossover. It gives me the feeling every page anything can happen,
mm-hmm.
and I just love that. And it's just that. And that's the Darsky issue he did. That's my issue of the year. I think that issue was brilliant. I love that series.
I don't have one right now, so sorry. What band is the worst? Journey, Boston, or Chicago? I'm going to go Chicago. I love early Chicago, but the Peter Cetera Chicago, not a fan. Boston I'm okay with. Journey, most of it's okay.
Okay. I know some Journey songs, mainly because they were like the Sopranos finale song. Don't Stop Believing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But Boston, Chicago, I couldn't. Like, I'm sure I know the songs to hear them, but like I can't.
Yeah, no, Sam, I don't think I'm.
Pat, would you either. Sing? No.
If you leave me now.
That's Peter Cetera. Yes, yes. Now you understand my opinion.
But if you've ever heard Butter sing it from South Park, it's hilarious.
And then last question, favorite writer, which we kind of, some of us touched on.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all the questions we got.
Did you guys see the have you seen the Taco Bell commercial with like
the saga people? Yeah, yeah.
Is that
very
who
cool.
they're supposed to be? Is that like that's is that it. Actually?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I think absolutely. That definitely is. Yeah.
Because yeah. I've never actually read it, but I know the one guy has the horn.
No,
and
that's
stuff,
that's
so I know.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Marco or Mako? Yeah. Or, yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, wasn't. Yeah. It's like, what is it? Are they supposed to be the saga people? Yeah.
Yeah. My guess is they. Yeah. Are. Yeah. So, Pat.
Yeah.
What'd you read?
I read Moon Knight.
I read Moon Knight too.
Still digging this. I love the idea of him being in therapy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this isn't going to end well. Like, the therapist is going to get killed. We know this is going to happen. Because he even talks about everybody that is associated with him either ends up dead or leaves because bad things just happen around him. But he, in this issue, he was telling an interesting story. So it was kind of split where one page would be him in therapy, and then the next page would be him trying to save Soldier.
Yeah.
Which is actually what was progressing the story. And there was some overlap, but that's essentially what was going on. But he brings up the fact that, you know, he was the son of a rabbi. He was raised Jewish and, you know, he was kind of espousing on all the tenets of Judaism. And then basically he's like, and then I died and Khonshu gave me a way back. God never talked to me, but Khonshu did. And just like, it goes to show like how messed up he really is. And again, you know, it, because it's Moon Knight, you're never really sure what's real, what's in his head. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the last issue was him actually have bled out and everything was, you know, just going on in his head. Because that's just a Moon Knight thing to do. But it's pretty interesting. And I guess the villain that we've been following kind of from afar is named Zodiac. But I thought there was already a villain named Zodiac.
I think there's been a
There
couple.
Was, yeah, a long time ago, Sergeant, or Nick Fury. I think it was like his brother or something.
Right, and then there was like all the different signs of the Zodiac were like his minions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't think that's where they're going with this, though. At least I hope not.
Yeah.
Although it does give him people to beat up, so maybe they will. I read Shang-Chi.
That's Shang-Chi.
Pardon me. So, every issue in this series so far has been basically him against some other, you know, hero, or Spider-Man, and Captain America, and whatever. Well, all the heroes think that he has the Cosmic Cube, and he's like, we don't have the Cosmic Cube. Turns out they did have the Cosmic Cube. One of his people had stolen kept the Cosmic Cube from an earlier issue and gave, I think it was Captain America, a fake one, and then they figured out it was fake. But he turned it into, they called it the Thunderblade. So, of course, Thor comes down, and Shang-Chi fights Thor using the Thunderblade. And he goes, something feels off about this. And then he realizes he has the Cosmic Cube. So he you know, gives it to the Avengers and turns in one of his lieutenants. I forget which one. One of the, I think it's Brother Saber or something like that, over to the Avengers because he stole the Cosmic Cube. Having watched the movie, it's very different. I don't quite know what they're going for, but it's fine. And I read Nightwing, so I just thought the issue was blah.
Yeah,
but there was a preview in the back for the Batgirls.
Yeah.
I don't like the art.
Yeah, no, I didn't check it out.
I skipped over it because of the art. I was like, well, and it wasn't so much the art, because the art was unique. But yeah. It was the typeface on the art. I was like, I'm not reading that.
And see, it was the art that bothered me, and the coloring. Mm-hmm. The choice of colors, which is...
It was...
It's a lot of, like, pastels. Like,
yeah.
Because I was going to say, like, a... Almost like a... It felt like a blacklight poster.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
It's got that, like...
Yeah, you know, you're right. That's a good way, like, to explain
it. You know, I'll take some gummies before I read that one.
Like, I like the concept of it, but that...
And I figured I wasn't probably going to get the book when it comes out, so why read the...
But even, like, this issue, the art in Nightwing was... It almost felt like, not quite, but almost like the White Knight, where it's very angular, all their faces are very angular.
Yeah.
Sean Gordon Murphy.
So it's okay.
But it's not quite his, it's like a copy of his.
Yeah.
But very, it looked out of place.
Yeah.
Not that every issue has to be house style art, but it didn't feel right.
Well, also too, like, with it being Italian, I think they purposely took, like, the main artist off, probably so you can get, you know, caught up and give this other.
But the colors. Is the colorist the same? Because it feels the same tones.
See you, Tim.
See you, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Yeah, I think the color... Well, yeah, I mean, the color looked... Actually, you know what, though? Even the color looked a little bit like the White Knight. In that it was almost like they colored it and then threw dirt over it, shook it off, and then went on. It was...
No, it looked more like the Harley Quinn White Knight. Like,
okay, yeah. Yeah, because yeah.
That was kind of like copying. Like, it's like a very... looser, just like because like Murphy is kind of very detailed, like in his, like, it doesn't look detailed, but when you get into it, it's very detailed.
Yeah, and this was not detailed.
No,
it didn't look like it was rushed. It just didn't look, because of the type of character Nightwing is and the type, it doesn't work for movement. It doesn't work for, it's more static. Yeah, I thought the issue itself was just kind of, all right, fine, let's just get through Fear State and move on. But
the thing that drove me crazy, the last issue, 85 or whatever it was, ends with the tower blowing up, and they think the Batgirls are in it,
mm-hmm.
and you see them running to the rescue. And this issue starts with them just being like, no, we weren't in the building. And that's like, you know, I get they wanted you to read the Batgirls tie-in or whatever.
Yeah, we were three blocks away.
And I was like, I would never go back and read that from the way you handled this. Like, it's like, nope, we're in, you know, we were just on the street. We weren't near there, and then they, you know, put on the outfits of the henchmen so they could penetrate the building. That the one thing that made me laugh, and this is just because I am very immature. So, I always learned in school that you evacuate a building, you don't evacuate a person. Right? So if you say, like, the man thought there was a fire and evacuated is very different than the man thought there was a fire and evacuated the building, right?
I'll have to look that one up in my Associated Press style book.
So, so when they're fighting in those bat suits...
One is leaving, the other one's pooping.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they're fighting in those bat suits and Dick just goes, evacuate, evacuate. I just imagine them all soiling their robo armor. I don't know.
These aren't ours.
Yeah.
That's funny. So.
Hidden poop jokes. Nice. That's what I read.
Yeah. I'll go. Dark Ages.
Yeah, I forgot to read
that. Number three. Let's see. In issue two, Tony Stark was kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
And taken to Europe, which is ruled by Apocalypse. So, Magneto's there. They've captured Magneto, and they're using him to generate some electricity. So this issue starts with them, with like a kids' tea party.
Yeah.
And Jessica with Peter Parker and Luke Cage.
Yeah, he and Johnny.
And Johnny Storm. And then Jessica Jones comes in and says that Tony's missing, so they send out the team to investigate X-23, and I think that was Blade.
And what's X-23's sidekick? Badger or
Honey Badger?
Maybe.
Yeah, she's Scout now.
Oh, Scout, okay.
Because they can
she
all,
finds
like,
out that like Tony was taken to Europe.
Yeah.
And Apocalypse is behind this. So they convene. They're in Wakanda, so they convene with Black Panther, Peter, and Johnny, and Dr. Doom's there, deciding what to do, and they just decide to send Quicksilver in as a scout.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes in, sees Magneto, sees his dad, kind of has a nervous breakdown, and he's captured. And instead of keeping him, the Purple Man, you know, takes over his mind, and they send him back. They send him back to Wakanda, and there's a big melee.
Yeah.
And then
we lose some guys.
We lose some people. Johnny gets killed by Quicksilver with the spear.
And wasn't there somebody else? I thought somebody else bit it in that scene, too. I can't remember, though.
I just remember Johnny. I don't know if there's somebody else or not. But somehow Quicksilver recovers.
Well, I think Jean Grey goes, you know, shuts him down.
Yeah.
You know, just
yeah.
shuts his mind down.
Right.
And they say, like, it only took a second for her to do it, but in that second, or, like, within that 3 seconds, he's killed Johnny and, like,
yeah.
you know, like, taking, you know, wreak more havoc and stuff like that. And,
right.
Johnny starts to go, when he gets stabbed, he starts to go, like, supernova.
Yeah.
And, Sue's there, and she, using her force for it, she saves everybody else, and... Like, puts one behind her so she could, you're by, you know, around her so she could be there with Johnny as he basically, like, cremates himself, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And Quicksilver tells what he saw in Europe, and he says...
Because Reed and Franklin's been missing for, like, 4 years
yeah,
at this time.
Yeah, Reed's... They tell Sue Reed's alive when they think he's... When she thinks he's dead, and she's, like... We got to get him back, so they're gonna put some kind of strike team together to go in there. So it was good. I'm
really enjoying the series.
Yeah,
like.
It's a Tom Taylor book too. Blue and Gold, number 4. If you're a fan of the old Justice League International, you have to read this issue because it's really good. Blue Beetle and Booster Gold, they've started their own superhero service, Blue and Gold Restoration. and they go on a talk show to get some publicity for it. And while they're, you know, talking with the interviewer, they start arguing over their what happened during their first mission with Justice League International and who saved who. Because Blackguard stole some tech from Star Labs. So the story then, you get the story from Booster's point of view and from Beetle's point of view. And like,
they're different?
The Booster is like, the Booster point of view is Blue Beetle says, "Yes, Mr. Booster, sir," a lot. And we get the same thing on their side. But the cool thing is the parts from, along with Ryan Sook, who draws the issue, the Booster point of view is drawn by Dan Jurgens, and Kevin Maguire draws the Blue Beetle point of view. And so they're arguing about that, and then at the end, who comes in? Guy Gardner. And he says, "Both of your point of views are wrong. Here's what really happened. Batman sent me to watch over both of you to make sure Justice League International standards are met." And then, you know, from Guy's point of view, they're both in awe of Guy Gardner. They're both in awe of Guy Gardner. So, and of course, they made the joke of Booster and Beetle and the Bug, and they're talking about the tension between Batman and Guy Gardner, and they're like, Beetle's like, if Guy's not careful, Batman's gonna punch his lights out someday. But it was so much fun. They did a great job with that issue. And Nice House on the Lake.
I read that.
I didn't get to that one either.
Number 6, which was so good. We get in the last issue they found Reg in the Black Bunker.
The artist.
Yeah. So we get some of his backstory. We get to see what's inside the bunker. And how he tells the story of when him and Walter were in high school. And Walter basically tells him that the world's going to end someday. And he was chosen. He wants to save the best of the species.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and I can't remember the name of the other friend, but he tells... He seems to have like two roommates, and the one doesn't react well to it, so he just goes, you know, forget or whatever.
Yeah,
he gives them the command, and he forgets about it. But the other guy,
I think Norm.
Yeah, but he, the thing he says is he's like, it's my job to like keep the best and brightest or whatever, and you're not it, but like I think. If, you know, I can tell you a couple things and you could become, you know,
mm-hmm.
that. So it's, but he also says that he's like, we couldn't comprehend, like, what he is, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not that he's like an alien or something. Because,
right.
like, that seems like the obvious thing that they're, like, on a ship and
right.
he's... you know, very much like, the Twilight Zone episode where it's a zoo or whatever. You know, like
yeah.
So yeah.
But Walter makes him forget
mm-hmm.
that he told him all this, and Reg says that he's been helping Walter design the house or the tech or something, but he's made him forget. He never told him because Walter's made him forget everything along the way.
Yeah. I got the sense that he designed the whole the area that they are in.
Yeah,
with
right.
With all the
right.
the shapes and the building
yeah.
and all that stuff. Like, it's all through his thing. Which makes... I kind of question whether or not the Reg, the artist, is... Like, is he trustworthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he, you know, is this a game and he's part of the game
yeah.
to, you know, introduce new rules or to guide them somehow. Like
he says there's still hope to save the world, because the whoever aliens or whatever they are, they want like a stable environment for these people. But we're obviously not stable, so it's like a trial run. So the people must still be out there, the rest of the world. But then Walter shows up and makes them forget everything. Yeah. And that's the cliffhanger it ends on. But
it's a bummer this book's taken off, or taking off for 5 months or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So. Because I feel like I forget the characters quite a bit from just month to month.
I have a hard time. Because
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, I have a hard time distinguishing between the personalities and stuff.
Yeah. So.
I don't know if that's like, an art thing or what.
I think it's there's too many, and they're not distinct enough.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, like and it's the kind of like the girl who had a depression. She has red hair, and then there's the girl who cooks dinner, and she has the long black hair, and then there's another girl, but like I can't really like. I know she's there, but like I can't like think what's her distinguishing feature, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they could have, you know, make one really short or something like that, do stuff like that,
right?
That where they're just a little more distinct.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Or like give one a Southern accent, you know, if you're that kind of thing, where it's like okay.
Yeah, get the rogue accent going.
Yeah.
But those are my three.
Oh. I covered all mine. The only thing I didn't get was Space Bastards, and I just picked that up this week, so.
What? What'd Spencer read? What do you think, Mar? You read anything good?
Robbins?
I read that.
We
hadn't covered anything I read. I was like, felt like an outcast.
How many did you read?
Six.
That's odd. That no one touched him. Wow. Yeah. So this one is just kind of like all the different Robins of getting together at Dick's apartment. They're for like a lunch or something, and there's no AC, so everybody's happy about that. And then this man comes running into his apartment, saying like, "Hey, talking about how like you know somebody knows and like they're gonna be coming and stuff like that." And before he could really tell him what's going on, he gets like shot through a window and ends up getting killed. And I can't remember how it ended. Do you remember how?
Yeah, it's like it was his first case or something, and all of a sudden all these people who were each of these Robin's first case are showing up either dead or something.
Yeah, okay.
And then it turns out the person behind this all is the first Robin.
Yeah,
So it was somebody that Batman had trained before Dick Grayson.
But it looks it's a girl.
Yeah.
She looks like young though, so I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, it's only a six parter, but
this
was the winner of the Round Robin tournament.
They're doing a lot with Robin right now.
Yeah.
Well, this is Robin's.
Yes.
Right. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But like.
And they were getting back.
The Jeff Lemire book had Killer Croc be related to the Flying Graysons.
Yeah.
The Nightwing book gave him a sister from a relationship before that. And now I'm hearing about this. So like, it just feels like. I don't know that you need to do all of that all at once. And I feel like.
More Batman.
An editor probably should be like, "Hey, we're kind of tapping on the same story bits all at the same time."
Amazing Spider-Man.
Bay. Yeah, I read that.
So these were the Daughters of the Dragons thing, and basically, The Beyond, who the one lady who runs the Beyond company, had. Oh, it starts out with them in like a almost like a danger room scenario training, and they're going like against like the, they're in the like the haunted Avengers mansion.
No, the old, well, it was the Avengers mansion, but basically it's Murder World.
Okay.
From X-Men arcades thing. But
so
yeah.
There's like, you know, there's like a. Like a Captain America, or like an Iron Man with like a Jason like hockey mask on, and just like, you know, like a mixture of that stuff. So like once that ends,
it's like a little simulation.
Yeah. The lady who runs the Beyond company asked if they could. There's like this like creature thing, you know, down in the city raising havoc, and asked if they could, you know, go take care of that and. Gives them a whole bunch of, you know, nice new toys. You try to take it out, and, you know, they're doing a couple different things, and they each give you, like, you know, they throw, like, some kind of grenade, and they give you, like, a little bubble of, like, what kind of grenade it is and what it actually does and stuff like that. But they shoot him with this one kind of gun, and it basically, because of what, something with what the creature is, sends them back to like that simulation somehow. And I forget how they do it, but they finally stop the creature.
But his name was like this dark star was powering him or something like that. And part of the thing was to recover that.
Yeah.
And then they weren't able to recover it, but it turns out they did, and they gave it to Captain, well, Photon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Captain Marvel, but Photon Captain Marvel.
So I mean, this was okay. I hope like more of the Beyond. Like I hope just like not every Beyond or point issue is like them. Like maybe if it's like different people in the thing or whatever. But I hope it's a little bit more focused on, you know, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then, Chicken Devil.
Read that.
All
right. Finally, something.
Go Fish. Oh, sorry.
So this pretty much picks up right after the last issue. Where
literally recaps it with the bad guy dead on the floor with a little note saying, bad guy, shot himself.
Yeah, so he is, like, trying to mop up some of the blood with, like, old used, you know, like towels from the gym and stuff, and he eventually
wheels it out. Yeah,
yeah, he wheels and puts them into like the big like square thing and wheels them out and puts them in his truck, and he goes home to try to figure out what to do, and then so the two detectives, they come knocking on his door, and he's trying to hide.
Well, he was still in the car.
Yeah,
because he's afraid to go into the house.
So the bad guy's phone starts going off, and his ringer is the theme music to Friends. So that's just playing constantly.
Yeah, you can hear it. Then they go and knock on the garage door, and he's like, crap.
So like, he opens it up.
Well, he has to take off his pants because they're covered in blood.
Yeah, so he opens up. He walks out in his boxer shorts and a t-shirt.
They had made a thing saying, God, I hope we don't catch him jerking off. So then they open up, and he's just standing there in his underwear.
He's able to, because he wanted, you know, ask him some questions, get a statement and stuff like that. And he's like, well, can I do that tomorrow? I promise I'll come down tomorrow.
Well, and then the phone rings again.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got to get that. Do you mind? And they're like, okay. And then he closes the garage door.
Yeah. And
they're like, screw this. And
yeah, they just go to eat. Because the one detective, he just wants to go someplace where he can take a nice dump.
Yeah. He takes the best dumps at this restaurant.
Yeah. So then, because he doesn't answer the phone, he just waits for them to leave. And then he goes and gets a hold of the guy he's in business with at the restaurant who got him into this trouble to begin with. They're at some cheap, like, you know, pay-by-the-hour motel. And he shows up with
his buddy has all these guns.
And he has the heroin, and they're arguing on what, you know, to leave, to try to make a run to Costa Rica or to go to the cops. And it turns out that he was followed, and so they start shooting up the thing, and the partner is dead, So it seems like everybody is dying except, you know, except him.
No, he's stayed there.
And they also did, like, early in the issue, they did, like, a flashback to,
Yeah, he's sitting talking to his mom with his baby, and the mom is saying how ugly the baby is. Yeah. And why did you have two? Don't you know? You know, that's...
Which, at first, I almost thought that's who the detectives were when they first showed up. I thought they was, like, his mom and
It was a little unclear who they... Yeah.
But yeah, just another, this like really fun, just the art in it is really good. It's pretty out there, and just like the way the, you know, they do cool things with the lettering and you know, like how they, and do, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's it. Yep. Yeah, because we already kind of talked about, the paranormal with the Jeff Lemire book earlier, you know, whenever, so. Yeah, we already kind of talked, that was the only other thing I really read.
Batman? Anybody read Batman?
I read Batman.
Well, apparently I screwed up, and I did not read Batman 116. So I'm reading Batman 117 going, what? What? Huh? So I was very confused, but it ended. He beat Peacemaker 01. And the Bat family showed up and took down Simon Saint. But yeah, I'm lost. So I'm not a good one to talk about.
So does that actually mean that the future doesn't happen?
I guess.
Not in this reality.
Yeah, I don't know what future state is. Yeah. So. I was disappointed by this one. Radio Apocalypse had been talked about for a long time. Rom V. And his artist from Blue and Green, which I actually haven't read yet.
That's the jazz one?
Yeah.
I couldn't get through that.
The art wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't great. It was very stylized. My problem with it is, so it's these two kids. One's really injured, and they're trying to get to the town, and there's this radio. The whole radio is talking to the Great Wasteland. Something has happened in the world. And the one is injured, and she leaves her at, like, a gas station to move on to keep going to the town and get help. And it's too late because the sun's about to go down, and they don't go outside after night. And so she gets there, and she's talking to the friend that she left on the phone and asks the radio to play I'm on Fire, and then she lights the gas station on fire to take care of the evil dog things. My problem, it's just very much like Noctera. As soon as dark comes, they have to all get inside. It's another post-apocalyptic survival. There wasn't anything new. I was really disappointed. It just was. And I'm really tired of post-apocalyptic. And then the last one I read was Refrigerator Full of Heads, which is still interesting. And it's definitely tying in with the last one. Someone's found the girl from the first one and is trying to find out where the axe is. They fight the bad guys with the axe and cut off their heads. And they have two of them, but the third one rolled away and he's trying to get away to find the boss because they were sent to get the axe. And then it even turns out that the two people that seemed innocent and everything actually know all about the axe and the other weapons. So it's like everybody's trying to find all this stuff. So it was good.
Is that as good as the first series?
No, I don't think it's as good. But the first one was written by Joe Hill, where this is written by somebody.
See, that's why I didn't pick that up.
Yeah,
I was like, it's not Joe Hill. If I hear it's good, I'll pick it up.
Yeah, it's continuing the storyline, but it's been I've enjoyed these, and I didn't finish the first one, so I'm a little bit.
I was
lost.
Wondering if they were doing. Are there any other? Is that still a Hill House?
Yeah,
book?
That's a Hill House. That's the only Hill House right now.
I just didn't know if it was still categorized as that or if it got moved to like a black
label. No,
this is
still
like,
Hill House.
You know.
Yeah. So, Patrick, say the words.
What's coming out next week, Colin?
Next week, from Marvel, we get Spider-Man 80, Avengers 50, Death of Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, and White Fox. I know you're excited about those, too. The Marvel previews that didn't come today. The Darkhold Black Bolt, Venom number 2, and X-Men Trial of Magneto.
Number 3 or 4?
4. Four of five,
right?
But it was interesting. I was reading a Sketched article, and they're like, okay, so here's part of the problem. Marvel has lost its shared universe feeling, even amongst its titles. And it's like, right now you have Magneto, who's a crucial part of Inferno, yet he's on trial in X-Men, Trial of Magneto. Yeah. You know, there's just a lot of disconnects. I guess Ben Reilly is in outer space with Iron Man, yet he's the main character in Amazing Spider-Man. There's just a lot of...
And the thing that drives me crazy is they just... Destiny just returned in the last issue of... was it X-Men or Inferno?
Inferno.
She returns, and now they're already previewing a thing in spring that, like, it's, you know, it's just a quote or whatever from her. But, like...
Yeah.
It's like, let me read the story.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Right, Mark?
Like, you still got books coming out in January and February. Yeah. Let me read those.
That's my one. Marvel always gets way ahead of itself. But it's because the creator and the people in these books are already done. Mm-hmm. And this is what they're working on. Then from DC, we have a bunch of annuals. Because next week is the fifth Tuesday. Although it's the first Wednesday of December. It's the fifth Tuesday of November.
Okay.
So normally, fifth week, they always come out with annuals. Mm-hmm. So because when I was doing it, I'm like, why do I have all these annuals, DC annuals? It's not a five Wednesday month. Oh, it's a five.
But it is for them.
Yeah. So we have Batman Annual, Batman Fear State Omega, Detective Comics Annual.
Batmanual.
Gotham City Villains Anniversary Giant. With the key being because a bunch of the villains are having their 80th.
So it's like Joker.
And the key being the Penguin. So who better to write a Penguin story than
Danny goddamn DeVito?
You are correct.
Really? I saw the ad. Wow. Yeah. And I have no desire to read Danny DeVito.
Human Target number 2. I'm looking forward to that.
First one was really good.
Unless if he rates it as Frank Reynolds from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, then I might read that.
Okay, fair.
Okay, we have a Joker Annual, Justice League Dark Annual, Justice League Incarnate. We have their local comic shop day book, Task Force Z2. Yay. Nightwing Annual, Robin Annual, Wonder Woman Annual, and Wonder Woman Historia, a book that I think has been... This was like the first black label book they mentioned way back in the announcement was Wonder Woman Historia.
Is that Greg
Rucka? No, it's Kelly Sue DeConnick and Phil Jimenez.
Okay.
And then the rest, taking up the rear. Dave, we have... and I wanted to spotlight this because it was very good dichotomy. We have Archie's Christmas Spectacular... The same week as Asylum of Horrors Halloween Special.
You can't plan anything.
We also have the Eek Halloween Special one-shot. Evil Ernie, number 1. Hotel, volume 2, number 1. King of Spies, number 1. That's a new one from Image. Magic Master of Metal. That's a magic one from Boom. Maniac of New York, Bronx Burning, number 2. The Me You Love in the Dark, number 5. I'm very interested in how this one wraps up. Red Sonja Holiday Special, they got it right. Sir Edward Grey Archeron is another Mignola book. And then Zombie Terror's Halloween Special. Yeah. But hey,
I guess... They're early for next year.
Exactly. It's 10 months early. Thank you, Pat. That's exactly what I was going to say. Good on them for shipping early.
Yeah. Well, you know, with all the problems we've had with shipping, they want to make sure you have them.
Brilliant.
If they got to reprint or something.
That's a really good idea. Right, Mar? You going to send us home? Okay, well, you'll already hear this. I'll have the sale weekend stuff up because I'm not coming in tomorrow to post this. So sorry, guys, you're not gonna get it till Friday. I know, slacker. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics, website's pittsburghcomics.com, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Dave, on this holiday weekend.
That's a Thanksgiving podcast.
Ooh, very nice. We will talk at you later. See ya.